A frontier language model is sitting at a poker table, and it's holding trip fours, three of a kind, a genuinely strong hand. And it looks down at its own cards, and it announces, with total confidence, that it's holding king-queen, a hand it does not have, and that what it's got is, in its own words, complete air. Nothing. Worthless.
So it's not misplaying the hand, it's misreading the hand. It doesn't even know what cards it's holding.
Right. And that's the thing that should stop you. Because this is the same model that, if you asked it to explain poker theory, would give you a flawless lecture. Pot odds, minimum defense frequency, board texture, blockers, the whole graduate seminar. The knowledge is in there. But sit it down to actually play heads-up, no-limit Texas Hold'em against a top solver, and it gets absolutely crushed. The paper clocks one model bleeding chips at a rate that, in poker terms, is just catastrophic. So the puzzle is, the knowledge is clearly present. Why can't the model use it? That puzzle is the spine of a paper that went up on archive on May 28, 2026, and we're recording one day later, on May 29th. Quick note on what you're hearing before we go further. This episode is AI-generated. The script was written by Anthropic's Claude Opus 4.8, and the two of us, I'm Juniper and my co-host here is Tyler, we're both AI voices from 11 Labs. The show is produced independently, no affiliation with Anthropic or with 11 Labs. The paper is called Poker Skill. LLMs can play expert-level poker without training or solvers. And the reason that title is a little provocative is the phrase, without training or solvers.
Because the whole history of strong poker AI is the opposite of that. The famous superhuman bots, Libratus is the headline one, were built on an algorithm called counterfactual regret minimization. The intuition is, the program plays itself millions of times, and after every hand it asks, for each decision I made, how much better would I have done if I'd chosen differently? It tallies that regret, and over countless iterations, the strategy drifts toward the choices it regrets least. That converges on what's called game theory optimal play. Balanced, unexploitable, no leak anyone can attack.
And it works. It's just brutal to build.
Libratus needed over 15 million CPU core hours. That's not a typo. 15 million. And what you get out the other end is a giant, opaque strategy table that no human can actually read. So you've got this expensive, powerful, locked-in-a-research-lab paradigm on one end. And then on the complete other end, you've got the old rule-based bots from the 90s, the if-this-then-that engines. Those are interpretable, instant, free-to-run, and just hopelessly weak. Rigid handwritten rules can't capture how conditional poker actually is.
So the authors plant a flag right in the gap between those worlds, and they ask a genuinely sharp question. Is rule-based poker weak because rules are inherently weak? Or is it weak because the thing executing the rules, a dumb if-then engine, has no judgment? And the mirror image question for the LLM, is its failure a knowledge problem or an application problem?
And their bet is that those two failures might cancel out, that the LLM has the judgment the rule engine lacks, and the rule engine has the structure the LLM lacks.
That's the whole paper in one breath. Let me name the bottleneck the way they do, because they give it a really clean label. The decision binding problem. Here's the picture. At any single poker decision, a dozen strategic concepts are all relevant at the same time. The board texture is telling you one thing. The pot odds are telling you another. The betting history, a third. The stack depth, a fourth. And the expert move is to bind the one governing principle to this exact moment. To know that right here, right now, board texture is what matters, and pot odds are a distraction.
And under normal prompting, the model just doesn't do that reliably.
It arbitrates among all of them implicitly, in its head, all at once, and it frequently binds the wrong one. That's the insight. The failure isn't that the model doesn't know the concepts, it's that it can't reliably pick which concept applies to the situation in front of it.
There's an analogy the context material uses for this that I think is close to perfect. The brilliant student who freezes on the exam. They've read every textbook. They can recite every theorem cold. And then they hit a specific problem, and they just can't figure out which tool applies right now. The knowledge is all there. The failure is selection, under pressure.
And that reframe is the entire paper. Because if the problem were, the model isn't smart enough, your fix is a smarter model. But if the problem is, the model can't bind the right principle to the right moment, then the fix isn't more intelligence. It's an interface, something that, for each decision, hands the model a sticky note saying, "This is a related rates problem. Use this formula."
And the name for that something, in this paper, is poker skill. So how does the sticky note actually get written?
Three stages, and the first one is almost embarrassingly simple, which is the point. It's a context engine, pure deterministic code, no model involved. It reads the current game state and computes hard facts. What's the board texture? What class is your hand? What's the betting line? What's the stack to pot ratio? Just, what is true right now? Calculated by code that cannot hallucinate.
And this is what kills the trip fours problem.
Exactly. The model never has to count the flush cards itself or figure out whether it has three of a kind. The engine computes it and states it as a fact in the prompt. So the model always starts from a correct premise. That hallucination we opened with, where it thought trip fours was complete air, that's not a reasoning failure. That's a reading failure. And deterministic code just removes the chance to misread.
Stage two.
Stage two is retrieval. And this is the part that does the binding. The system has a skill library, a structured set of expert principles, authored by the human poker players among the authors. Now, the naive thing would be to dump the entire strategy guide into every prompt. But that just recreates the problem. You've handed the model everything, and it's back to arbitrating among a dozen heuristics.
Right. You've made the exam harder, not easier.
So instead, the engine uses those hard facts it computed to retrieve only the relevant fragments. Preflop spot? You get the preflop range tables and nothing else. Postflop? You get the general postflop principles plus guidance specific to this board and this hand. On the river, you get river-only guidance, blocker logic, that wouldn't have made sense earlier. The library covers something like 60 action line scenarios, 23 hand classes, but the model only ever sees the slice that matches the moment.
So the arbitration step, the one where it goes wrong, just gets removed. It can't bind the wrong principle if it's only handed the right one.
That's the mechanism. And then stage three is the one I find genuinely elegant, the attack and defense budget system. And Tyler, this is where I think the design gets clever in a way that's worth slowing down for. Every hand, when you play it, gets a finite aggression budget and a finite defense budget. Think of it like a boxer's stamina across a fight. You start a round with a fixed amount of energy to spend on aggression. A big haymaker drains far more than a quick jab. And once you're gassed, throwing another big punch just isn't on the menu. Your body won't let you.
So a strong hand gets a big budget. A weak hand gets a small one.
A top pair might have the budget to bet for value on two streets and to defend on all three. A middle pair might only have the stamina to defend once or twice before folding becomes correct. And here's the depletion. Every bet you make, or every bet you face, drains the budget. And bigger bets drain more than small ones. A tiny bet costs you almost nothing. A pot-sized bet costs a lot. An overbet costs even more. When the budget runs low, betting just drops off the list of viable actions.
And what I think is genuinely slick about that, it's one number, one scalar. But because it depletes as the hand goes on, it quietly enforces this whole stack of things that solvers normally have to compute. It keeps your play coherent across all three streets. It stops you from making three big aggressive bets with a hand that only has the gas for one. and nobody ever programmed plan across three streets. The depletion does the planning for you.
That's the line that made me sit up. They're not encoding the optimal strategy, they're encoding capacity, how much aggression each hand can sustain, and letting it run down. And globally coherent multi-street play just falls out of purely local per-decision bookkeeping.
It mirrors what an actual expert carries in their head. A pro doesn't re-derive game theory at every decision. They read the situation, recall the relevant principle, and pick from a small handful of reasonable actions. Poker skill is literally that pipeline turned into code and wrapped around the model.
And then there's a final validator. If the model somehow proposes an illegal or incoherent bet, it falls back to the most conservative legal action. That fires in under one hand in a thousand. The structured output is remarkably clean.
Okay, so that's the architecture. I want to make it audible because the paper gives us a gift, a complete trace of one real hand played by GPT 5.5. And Juniper, I think narrating this beats any analogy we could invent, because you can actually hear the budget draining street by street.
Let's do it. Walk us through it.
The model is dealt 5-4 suited, a speculative hand, not strong, but it has potential. Preflop, the engine hands it the relevant range table, and the table says this hand is in the re-raising range here, so it 3-bets. Confident, by the book.
Then the flop comes.
The flop comes, and the model has flopped an open-ended straight draw. Not made anything yet, but a lot of cards could complete a straight. The engine reads this, retrieves the post-flop guidance, and the model fires a small continuation bet. A semi-bluff. The logic being, I have a draw with real equity. Betting small applies pressure cheaply and costs me very little budget.
Cheap jab. Barely dents the stamina.
Exactly. Now the turn. The turn pairs the board. And this is the moment the system earns its keep. Because the model still has its draw, and a naive, aggressive player wants to keep barreling. But the budget system looks at the new board texture and the pressure already spent, and it says, betting is no longer in your viable set. Check.
So it overrides the model's instinct to keep firing.
It does. It checks. And then the river comes, and the draw misses. The model now has, genuinely, complete air. Nothing. No pair, no draw, no showdown value at all.
And here's the part I love.
It fires a big bet, 75% of the pot, as a bluff. Because the river guidance says, trash with zero showdown value has nothing to lose by bluffing. You can't win at showdown anyway, so betting is the only way you ever win this pot. The hand it would never have value bet is exactly the hand it now turns into a bluff.
And you can hear the whole architecture in that one hand. The range table on the preflop. The cheap semi-bluff when the draw is live. The forced check when the budget says stop. And then the polarizing river bluff because the verdict flipped to nothing to lose. Each street, the facts changed, the retrieved guidance changed, and the budget changed. And the model just executed judgment inside those moving bounds.
Which brings us to the question every listener is now asking. Does it actually work? And here's where I get to be the bearer of numbers. Let me give you the unit first because it'll recur. Poker results get measured in thousandths of a big blind per hand. The big blind is the baseline forced bet, and the bigger the negative number, the faster you're losing money. So,
lay it out.
GPT 5.5, under plain default prompting against the top solver benchmark, loses at a rate of about 132. Rapid in poker skill, same model, no retraining, and it drops to about 57. That's a 57% reduction in how badly it loses. Claude Opus 4.6 is the most dramatic. It goes from 204, the bleeding out of the eyes number we opened with, down to 80. A 61% cut.
And there's a reference point that makes those numbers mean something.
Slumbot. The 2018 champion of the computer poker competition. A serious, solver-built bot. Against this same benchmark opponent, Slumbot loses at about 194. And all three poker skill agents lose less than that. So you've got an LLM with a prompt wrapper, no training, no solver running, losing less to a near-perfect opponent than the 2018 machine champion does.
Now, you flagged earlier you wanted to be careful here.
I do, because this is the spot where the framing needs an asterisk, and the authors are honest about it, so we should be too. This is not a head-to-head match. Poker Skill never sat across the table from Slumbot. Both were measured against the same third party, the solver benchmark, and Poker Skill lost less. That's a meaningful comparison. But loses less to a strong opponent than a 2018 bot does is a carefully chosen yardstick. It is not beat Slumbot in a match. I think the gap, 57 versus 194, is big enough to dwarf the error bars and mean something real. But it's an indirect result, and calling it a clean win would be overselling it.
That's fair. And there's one more number that, to me, is the cleanest piece of evidence in the whole paper. Tyler mentioned the rule library, the expert-authored set of principles. The authors ran an ablation where they stripped the LLM out entirely. Just the library, always taking the first viable action it offers. Pure rules, no model.
And it scores?
132. Which is exactly tied with the best default prompt LLM, and better than several of them.
Wait, so the rules alone are as good as a frontier model playing on its own?
That's the payoff. The rules alone capture real poker knowledge. They're as good as a raw frontier model. But they top out at 132, and the LLM alone is terrible. Neither half is a strong poker player, but the combination gets you to 57. The gap from 132 down to 57, that's the model's judgment, working inside the structure. Rules give you the floor. The model's judgment, properly bounded, is what lifts you off it. Neither one alone competes with the solver champions. Together, they do.
And I want to sit on a counterintuitive finding here, because it's the strongest support for the whole decision-binding thesis. You'd assume that under default prompting, no scaffolding, smarter models play better poker. More reasoning, better play. Right?
That's the natural assumption.
It's false. Across the model generations, raw poker skill does not climb with intelligence. One newer, more capable model plays worse default poker than an older one. Some of the most advanced reasoning models post the worst raw numbers in the whole lineup. The line doesn't go up. In places, it goes down.
Which is bizarre, until you connect it back to binding.
That's exactly the author's interpretation, and I think it's beautiful. More reasoning depth means the model surfaces even more competing factors. It thinks of more things that might be relevant. But it still has no mechanism to decide which one governs. So you've given it more ways to bind the wrong principle.
There's an image for this that fits perfectly. A committee where adding more brilliant, opinionated experts makes decisions worse. Every new genius raises another consideration, and with no chairperson to rule on which factor wins, the room talks itself into the wrong priority. More smart voices, no arbitration, worse outcome.
And I'd flag, this is the author's proposed explanation for a pattern that has wide error bars. So it's a compelling hypothesis, not a proven mechanism. But if it holds, it's a real warning about where the field is pouring effort. We keep making models reason harder. And on this task, reasoning harder without a way to prioritize actively hurt. The scaffolding is what makes the intelligence usable.
Let me say a word about how they can even claim these numbers from a small sample, because poker is famously noisy. A single lucky card can swing a hand by a huge margin. So normally, you'd need 100,000 plus hands to see through the luck.
And frontier model inference isn't free. They note GPT 5.5 runs about 30 cents a hand. 100,000 hands gets expensive fast.
So they lean on a variance reduction technique. The intuition is like judging a commuter's driving skill by their arrival time. The time is mostly traffic and red lights they don't control. But if you knew the expected delay from traffic on that route at that hour, you could subtract it out and isolate how well they actually drove. The technique does that with card luck. It subtracts the known expected effect of the random cards using the benchmark opponent's fully specified strategy, leaving mostly the skill signal. The payoff is roughly 30-fold. 5,000 hands carry the weight of about 150,000.
With one honest caveat, that trick only works because the benchmark opponent's play is completely known. You couldn't do it against a mystery opponent. Which is actually a nice segue into where I want to push, because I think this paper is strong, and I also think a few of its claims deserve real scrutiny.
Go ahead, push.
First, the simple one. It still loses. Every single agent is in negative territory. Poker skill narrows the gap to a game theory optimal opponent dramatically, but it does not close it. So expert level, competitive, those words are doing work that rests heavily on that indirect slumbot comparison we flagged. It's a real result, but it's a gap narrowing result, not a beating a strong opponent result.
That's fair. What else?
Single opponent, single format. Everything is measured against one benchmark, in heads-up play. The authors give good reasons. That's the only public benchmark with the variance reduction tooling. And cost rules out testing against many opponents. But it means we genuinely don't know how this holds up against an exploitative opponent, one that probes those rigid budget thresholds looking for a pattern to attack. A budget system tuned to play near a balanced equilibrium might be exploitable by an adversary the deterministic engine was never designed to anticipate. And we have no data on multiplayer at all.
And there's the boxer stamina flaw, which the authors own directly.
Right. The budget is locally sound, per decision, but there's no forward-looking search. So the system can bet the flop, bet the turn, and then face a river raise with not enough budget left to continue. A boxer who spends his stamina and then eats a counterpunch is in trouble. The authors call this one inherent to per-street scaffolding without global planning. They don't paper over it.
There's a subtler claim I want to handle carefully, because the title leans on it, without solvers. Tyler, how literally should a listener take that?
This is the one I'd most want a listener to get right. The skill library was authored by humans. And those humans built their poker intuition over years, partly by studying solver output. So solver-free strictly means no solver runs at inference, at decision time. It does not mean the strategic content is independent of solvers.
The analogy that nails it is the chess player who studied thousands of computer-analyzed games to build deep positional intuition, and then sits down to play with no engine at the table. Everything they know ultimately traces back to engine analysis, but no engine runs during the game.
And you'd never call that player computer-free in any absolute sense. It's a real and useful distinction. It's exactly how human pros learn. But the word solver-free needs the qualifier at inference, or the framing overstates the independence.
Two more honest ones quickly.
The contributions aren't cleanly separated, and the authors say so. We know the library alone scores 132, and the model lifts it to 57. But how much of that lift is genuine strategic judgment versus the model just executing the constraints more flexibly than a dumb, always take the first option rule? That isn't decomposed. And the reproducibility has an asterisk. The entire library, every budget threshold, every hand class boundary, is hand-tuned by the specific experts on this team. It's reproducible given this library. A different expert team might build different tables and get different results. The library is an artifact of particular expertise, not derived from a stated principle.
And on the rankings,
The difference between the best model and the next one is not statistically significant at these sample sizes. One model's error bar is enormous. So, GPT 5.5 is the best, is softer than the leaderboard makes it look, and again, the authors say so. The candor in this paper is genuinely high. They flag almost everything I just raised before I could.
Which I think earns them the right to the bigger claim. Because the poker, honestly, is almost a vehicle. The real bet is about a general pattern for building LLM agents.
Say more, because this is the part that travels beyond cards.
The decision binding problem. Having the right knowledge but failing to bind it to the moment plausibly shows up anywhere experts apply situational judgment. Medical diagnosis. You have to bind the symptoms in front of you to the correct differential. Legal reasoning. Bind these specific facts to the relevant statute. Negotiation. Bind the current offer to the right concession strategy. In all of those, a model might know everything and still pick the wrong frame for the moment.
And the recipe is domain agnostic, deterministic code to classify the situation, expert knowledge indexed by situation type, a bounded set of actions to choose among, structured validation on the output. Swap the poker library for a diagnostic one, and the shape is identical.
The intellectual shift is what I keep coming back to. For years, the reflex has been, the model isn't good enough, make it smarter. This paper is a concrete vote for a different diagnosis. The model isn't being handed the right knowledge at the right moment. And that second problem is fixable with plumbing, not with a bigger model.
It also quietly rehabilitates rule-based AI. For two decades, handcrafted rules were the weak baseline everyone outgrew. This paper recasts them, not as a strategy that competes on its own, but as an interface, a way to align a general reasoner to a specialized action space. The structure provides reliability and correct framing. The model provides the judgment to act within it. That's a much more interesting job for a rule system than thing we replaced with deep learning.
And there's a free upgrade path baked in. Because the performance rides on the base model's reasoning, poker skills should get stronger automatically as foundation models improve. A fixed solver never does that. It's frozen the day you build it. This thing inherits every future gain in the underlying model. For the price of an API key and a prompt, instead of 15 million core hours.
For me, the lasting image is the contrast we opened on. One end of the field spent the equivalent of millions of computer hours to grind out an unreadable strategy table. And here's a system that runs zero training, queries zero solvers at decision time, and competes. Narrows the gap, honestly, by doing something almost suspiciously simple. Reading the situation with code that can't hallucinate, handing the model only the principle that applies, and capping how hard it can push.
The student who froze on the exam didn't need to get smarter. They needed someone to slide a sticky note across the desk at the right second. Turns out a lot of intelligence has been sitting there, fully formed, waiting for exactly that.
That's the bet, anyway. And it's a testable one, which is the best kind.
This has been AI Papers, a deep dive. The paper is Poker Skill, out of Tsinghua and the Chinese University of Hong Kong, Shenzhen. The show notes have a link to the paper and some related reading if this one caught you.
And if you want to go deeper, paperdive.ai has the full transcript with every term defined inline, plus the concept pages that link this episode to the others we've done on LLM agents and scaffolding.
Thanks for spending the time with us. We'll see you with the next one.